Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's my privilege to welcome you this morning into this place, the Lord's house. And it's wonderful to be together this morning. It's good to see so many of you. I'm not going to lie, I wasn't expecting to see very many this morning with all these colds and flus and stuff going around. And I know that a few are suffering, but we're here. And it's good to be together. You would have noticed that John Ellington isn't here. So, unfortunately, I'm going to have to give some announcements. And I really hate this job. So, bear with me as I work through them. I've got lots of thanks to give for over the Christmas period. I was going to thank Andy and Jackie. I'm sure she has been thanked already, who worked extremely hard on the Christmas Tree Week Festival. We really appreciate it. And it was a great success. We estimate that 200 people came into the hall each day of the festival. Well, that is probably about 160 more than would on a normal day. So that's a resounding success. The band put in a great effort for caroling, as did the songsters with a lovely evening round at the Grosvenor pub. So thank you very much, everyone, for your hard work and your dedication. It's vitally and crucially important that we're on the streets at Christmas time proclaiming the birth of Jesus Christ. I want to thank everyone that helped with the toy appeal, particularly Heather and John. He deserves a mention as well. I think his Excel skills saved the day. But thank you very much. We really appreciate what you did. And we supported, about 170, 180 kids by the end of it. So that was a fantastic effort as well. I thank Claire for two things. The crib service, which was lovely, as well as New Year's Day last week. New Year's Day, if you missed it last week, you missed a flavour, a taste of what it means to be the church. In this kind of informal, sat around, talking about the Bible, having a cup of tea. What more can you ask for? I was expecting a little bit of enthusiasm there. Obviously, it's just me. So thank you very much. We've had a really, really successful Christmas period. So thank you very much for everything that you have invested into that as well. In this coming week, the weekly programme recommences really pretty much as normal. But I wanted to draw your attention to two things. Firstly, on Thursday the 12th of January, so that's this coming Thursday, the funeral of Michael Darnell will be held in this hall and the service will be conducted by Majors Linda and David Squirrel. Some of you know Michael, I believe. So I wanted you to be aware of that the funeral will be in this hall at 1:30 on Thursday afternoon. I also wanted to draw your attention to the fact that on Friday the 13th of January, is the World Day of Prayer. I don't have the details to hand, but if that's something that you're interested in, make sure you speak to me and I'll try and get some more precision. On the notice board at the back, I've put a small little A4 sheet of summer residentials for children and young people. And I think we've got enough children and young people here that we could send a small group to at least some of these activities. So the posters on the back under the children and youth section on the notice board, have a look at them if you are a parent. Also on the notice board will be appearing a letter from Major Howard Russell, our divisional commander, just explaining stuff about the new division, because the organisation of the army is changing in this area. It doesn't make a massive difference to us locally, but I suppose it might be of interest to some to know what is going on. And finally, some personal thanks, and we want to thank you for your well wishes and your gifts and your cards and your meals on the arrival of Eva. We've been well and truly spoiled, so thank you very much for your expressions of love. They have been much appreciated. And the final announcement is that I now go on paternity leave for 2 weeks. Isn't that nice? You don't have to put up with me for a couple of weeks. Wonderful. And I got a bit of kind of acknowledgement there, so I take it that you view that as a good thing as well. Let's stand and join together in worship this morning. The band's already introduced the tune. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Let's sing together. Start our worship with joyful, joyful. And we're going to now move into a time of quiet and of prayer and of reflection. And very shortly we're going to sing a song, As the Deer. And the chorus says this: You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Today is Covenant Sunday. It's a day that the Salvation Army kind of ask us to respect at the beginning of the year, and it's an opportunity for us to enter again into that, to recommit maybe to that covenantal relationship with God, where we say, Lord, everything I have is yours, and God says, everything that I have is yours. And this beautiful, beautiful exchange, that's the nature of the relationship that we have with God. It's wonderful. The God, the creator of all things, says, all that I am, I give to you. And we see that most starkly expressed in the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that chorus, you alone are my strength and shield, it speaks of that closeness and that dependence that we ought to have with God, because we know it. We all try to go our own way, don't we? We all try to do our own thing. But we do know that by and large we fail when we try it. But with God, we know that all things are possible. So we're going to sing this song very, very shortly. And afterwards, we're going to have a time of prayer. And I'm going to leave it open for you to pray, perhaps aloud, however you see fit in these moments. I invite you to pray as the Spirit leads in these coming moments. And let us sing together to get our minds and our hearts set in the right place. Consider these words from the beginning once again and perhaps free up a little bit of our concentration to focus on the words themselves. You alone are my heart's desire. My soul longs after you. Is that your is that your experience this morning? Is that your feeling this morning? Is that your prayer this morning that you might feel these things? I want you more than gold and silver. Now there's a challenge. You alone are the real joy giver. Is that your experience this morning? Bring it to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I want to experience these things. Experience your joy. I want to experience that satisfaction of a life devoted to you. Make this your prayer this morning. And if anyone wants to voice a prayer on our behalf, this is your time. Pray as the Spirit leads. likes Haribo? Who likes Haribo? If you like Haribo, come and join me. If you like Haribo, come and join. Oh, Jago, that was quick. Quick reaction time. Good, good. If you like Haribo, come and join me. If you like Haribo, come and even if you're an adult and you like Haribo, you can come and join me. If you like Haribo, come and join me. Right, let's face this way, guys. If you don't mind, yeah, let's face that way. The connoisseurs are coming out now. The real Haribo specialists are coming out now. Lovely. So here we go. I've got a little bit of a challenge for you. If you want a packet of Haribo, this is what I want you to do. I want you to do 66 star jumps while reciting the books of the Old Testament backwards. Yeah, are we ready? Are we up for it? 66 star jumps while reciting the books of the Old Testament backwards. Starts now. No, backwards. No. No. The star jumps are good. No, thanks guys. Thanks, Jago. Your energy always impresses me. Thanks, Felicity. Yeah, Martha, good try. Catherine, too. I don't know if I can open these Haribo, though, because I asked you to do 66 star jumps while reciting the books of the Bible, of the Old Testament, backwards. Sounds impossible, doesn't it? It probably is pretty close to impossible. Yeah, I'm going to show you. I'm sorry, I'm suffering with a bit of a cold at the minute, which prevents me from exercising. Yeah. No, but I sent you. Jago's still going. But all I wanted to say is that God doesn't require anything of us for his love. He doesn't ask us to do impossible and difficult things. He simply just gives us his love. So thank you very much, everyone, for taking part. But remember that. Well done, Jago. But did you see the books of the Bible backwards? But God still loves you, Jago, so don't you worry about it. Felicity, here you go. Catherine, enjoy these. Don't eat them all at once. Oh, we don't believe in that here. We're a Christian church. And you know what? Matthew, you arrived right on time. Here you go. Thank you very much, guys. We're going to sing a song. We're going to sing one of my favourites, and thank you for staying up with me. So we're going to sing the way it's going to be, so you know the way it's going to be. I'm going to ask you to stand if you're able and willing. We know the actions by now, so I'm looking for participation. The children are looking for participation. I need you guys to look and make sure that these guys are taking part, okay? Yeah? Thank you very much. Because there's no Haribo for them. Right, here we go. Everyone up. Let's sing the way it's going to be. What a great song for the beginning of a new year. And we'll start by going this way, yeah? Martin and Andy, I'm looking at you. Here we go. We're going this way. The way it's going to be, the world is going to see. A little bit of help. Follow me, Jago. My life, a picture here of you, help me to be true. A little bit of heaven in my life. May I be a bright star shining, helping people find me their way to you. Today. I just wanna praise you, yeah, yeah, yeah. I just wanna see your love forever. Left, and I am going to give it to the people I thought were putting the most effort into the dancing this morning. There was two close competitors. But we've seen a lot of hard work here, Sue and Angela. So thank you very much. And children, I think it's time for you guys to go off to Sunday school. Have a wonderful time. Learn lots. And have fun too. Off you go. And thank you, Joe, as well. And we hand over to the band now, who are going to bring to us a song by the Bilbo Revival Machine called, which was a Salvation Army kind of rhythm and blues band in the 70s. And the song is called Jesus Is All I Need.
Thank you. The reading is taken from John chapter 10, verses 1 to 18. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from one because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father."
So on this second Sunday of the year, with all the possibilities that a new year brings lying ahead of us, we are invited to consider the theme of covenant. In the past, we might have called this Commitment Sunday, and more recently, Vision and Commitment Sunday. But these names do not properly encapsulate the kind of relationship that binds us to God. Covenant is far more than a mere commitment, contract, or agreement. At its deepest and at its richest, entering into a covenant is saying, as I have said already today, all I have is given to you, and all that you have is given to me. And this is seen most completely in the exchange that happened when Christ took all that we are to the cross, redeemed us, and gave us eternal life. And in response, we are called into a life that is rich, full, joyful, overflowing, under the favour and blessing of God, and in continual fellowship with his people. And at the heart of today's message is a well-known verse, John 10:10. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Other translations call it life in abundance. The Hawaii Pigeon Bible puts it as this, life to the max. This morning, we will look at this idea of fullness of life, as the Salvation Army's mission statement puts it, through the lens of covenantal relationship that binds us to God and God to us. Time and time again, we see that love is the key driving force, the principal motivator behind God's promises and his covenants with his people. And this is a key theme throughout John's Gospel and in this passage in particular. And we get a picture of the Good Shepherd as the one who is willing to lay down his life for his sheep, as the one who is completely and passionately devoted to his flock in the face of attacks, as the one who knows the sheep intimately, and this is based on a closeness of relationship. Put simply, love is the reason that Jesus has come, that they might have life to the full. And we see this life, I repeat it most clearly, this love in Jesus' death and resurrection. The offer of abundant life is founded in the covenantal love of God. It's not a love that is expressed in being vaguely nice and caring of others. It's a love that is sacrificial, that is determined, and that is powerful. Love is the main motivator, the main driving force for the Salvationist, for the Salvation Army, and for all Christians. But we're relating this particularly to the Salvation Army today. When asked what it meant to be proper army, William Booth wrote, listen to this, the ruling passion of the true Salvationist is love. Covenant Sundays, days like today, offer us the opportunity to perhaps repent of the times when we have failed to love God and others as we ought to have done. But a few years later, in the 1930s, when some began to sense that the army's mission was beginning to stagnate and its future at risk. Remember, this is the 1930s. Brengo, an important holiness teacher in the army, warned that the death of the army would be if love, as seen and given by Christ, was no longer its principal driving force, its main motivator. And this is what Brengo writes. This is Brengo, it's not me. We must still prove our discipleship by our love for one for the other. It is not enough to wear the uniform, to profess loyalty to army leaders in principle, to give our goods to feed the poor and our bodies to be burned. We must love one another. We must make this the badge of our discipleship. The army is so thoroughly organized and disciplined, so wrought into the life of nations, so fortified with valuable properties, and on such a sound financial basis that it is not likely to perish as an organization. But it will become a spiritually dead thing if love leaks out. Love is the life of the army. But if love leaks out, we shall lose our crown, we shall have a name to live by, and yet be dead. We may still house the homeless, dole out food to the hungry, punctiliously perform our routine work, but the mighty ministry of the Spirit will no longer be our glory. Our musicians will play meticulously, our songsters will revel in the artistry of song that tickles the ear, but leaves the heart cold and hard. Our officers will make broad their phylacteries and hobnob with mayors and councilmen and be greeted in the marketplace. But God will not be among us. We shall still recruit our ranks and supply our training garrisons with cadets from among our own people. But we shall cease to be saviours of the lost sheep that have no shepherd. If the future of the Salvation Army is still to be glorious, we must heed the exhortation, let brotherly love continue. Love is ultimately what motivates God in his offer of abundant life. And ultimately, it is love, as expressed in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that should motivate all of our expressions of that abundant life to love one another. David Ford says that the opening, David Ford, who's a commentator in the Gospel of John in particular, says that the opening chapter, the opening of John 10, presents the reader with a nightmare scenario for Middle Eastern first century shepherds and gatekeepers. The scene is set in the dark depths of night, and the sheep and the gatekeeper are only able to rely upon hearing the voice of the true shepherd, the good shepherd. The good shepherd's voice is contrasted with all kinds of impostor voices, such as thieves and robbers, who threaten the welfare and security of the sheep. And according to Jesus in John 10, these threats are many. It is, however, into this darkness that comes the transformative and abundant life given by the Good Shepherd, who defeats the darkness. The contrast between darkness and light is an important feature of John's Gospel. The thieves and robbers come from the darkness, and the Good Shepherd comes from the light. But the contrast continues. The thieves and robbers who come out of the darkness are bent on destruction, whereas the Good Shepherd offers life. This promise of transformation from darkness to light is drawn from Ezekiel chapter 34, and I encourage you to read this afternoon, perhaps. Read it this afternoon. In this passage, this chapter, Ezekiel 34, prophesies about the coming of that good shepherd to rescue and find the sheep, to provide good pasture and grazing, to treat injuries, to strengthen the sheep, to give them a taste of justice, to keep them secure and at peace, to keep them from going hungry, to liberate them from slavery, to free them from fear, to deliver them, and to enfold them in an intimate covenantal relationship with God. Ezekiel chapter 34 gives us a vivid picture of all the dimensions of what transformed life to the full looks like. And it's important not to break this list down into its components, because what we are looking at here is the transformation of the whole of life, which flows from a restored covenantal relationship with God. Freedom, liberation, deliverance, provision. This is what full life in all its fullness means. And while in John's Gospel there is a tension between now and not yet, the reality is that Jesus has come and offers us all abundant life today. Life is for living, and we are called to experience the abundant life Jesus offers and to share it with others. Abundant life is not merely an abstract concept. It's about living as the people of God on earth as in heaven. Here's an example. Life is for living. When I was a youngster, I used to claim to not liking pizza. I hated pizza. I absolutely hated pizza. If you put pizza in front of me, I would get rid of it until the day I actually tried it. And there's something similar going on here. If you want to experience this life to the full, well, you're going to have to try it. In the Psalms it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You're going to have to try it. You're going to have to let it go. You're going to have to drop your guard and you're going to have to throw yourself in it. But Jesus does offer it. Life in all its fullness. If you love a piece of music, you've got a favourite piece of music, a favourite Beethoven sonata, you want to share it with others, well, they're going to have to listen to it. You've got a favourite recipe, well, you're going to have to cook it or find someone that can cook it before you can experience that relationship, that recipe, and before you can share it with others. You've got a favourite novel, well, it's because you've read it. The life that Jesus calls us into is called to be lived. It's not a promise for a disembodied heaven. I have come. Jesus has come. That they might have life. It's a fait accompli. Jesus has come. That ye may have life. That life is to be lived. And it involves us throwing ourselves at it, dropping our guard and saying, Lord, here I am. All that I am, I give to you. And all that you have, you give to me. And I accept that life in all its fullness. So to finish us off this morning, just a couple of questions of challenge. Do you know that life in all its fullness? Does this core know this life in all its fullness? Because I was thinking about that, and I mentioned this earlier this morning. This is a life that overflows. Jesus keeps on giving. Our life keeps on filling up. Running over, my cup's filling, running over. We've all sang it. But this is the reality. Is our cup running over into the world around us? Do people envy us for the fullness of life that we experience? Do people want to know more about the fullness of life that we are experiencing? Maybe. Or perhaps, on the other hand, you're going, Paul, what on earth are you talking about? Sounds all well and good. This life to the max sounds good to me. It's not something I've ever experienced. I've been sat in the chairs of this church for 50 years and it's still eluding me. And it's available. Live it. Taste it. Claim it. Because it will be given freely. So we're going to sing a song very soon. All That I Am, All I Can Be. And it's a song of devotion and of commitment to God. And I've placed some cards on the penitent form. I've placed some cards on the altar table. And Bill has some if you're unable to walk. And I want you to respond this morning. I want you to respond. It might be that you take a card and you take it home and you say, Lord, I'm going to pray this afternoon, and that's fine. It might be that you want to kneel at the penitent form and commit to God this morning and accept this life in all its fullness. Recommit to it. Accept the gift. But I want you to respond this morning. I want you to respond this morning. I don't want you to walk out of this place and say, well, oh yeah, well, the Christian life, it sounds all right. It's all right. And we enjoy getting together on a Sunday and we sing nice songs and we hear nice stories. But that life is still eluding you. That confidence that comes from that life. That purpose that comes from that life. Let's sing together and respond as the Spirit leads. Let's join together. All that I am, all I can be. let's close our eyes. And let's use these moments to consider that covenant. I know we've kind of gone through a ritual in many ways, and it's easy to just pick up a card. But I want you to take the time to reflect on it. There's a prayer on the back of the card. Perhaps you can make it yours. But it's not just life that Jesus offers. I like that Hawaii idea. It's life to the max. Is that really your experience? Is that what you want? Is that what you're going to commit to in covenant with God? Life to the max. Life is all right. I don't think any of us here are absolute dreadful sinners and awful people. But Jesus offers us more than just life. Life to the full, abundant life. Life to the max. Do you know that life? If you don't ask for it, commit to it, and it will be given to you. We're going to move on to another song, which I want us to sing prayerfully. If you don't want to sing it, don't sing it. If you don't feel you can sing it, don't sing it. But if you want to make this your prayer this morning, pray, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let's not sing these words out of rote or habit or because it's the done thing. Let's make them our prayer this morning. Father, may that be our prayer this morning. May we live fully devoted to thee, in covenantal relationship with thee. And may we accept the fullness of life that you offer. May we not heed the imposter voices that would tell us otherwise. May we seek meaning and satisfaction and joy in you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was young, yeah, Shirley, you can come again. When I was a teenager, and I can remember being challenged all the time, and the Holy Spirit challenging me all the time, and I would respond, I would come before, I would sign my card, I would pour my eyes out, I would pour my heart out, I would pour my soul out, and I would say, Lord, I want to live for you. But then I would go home and it would wear off pretty soon. So that's why I've chosen the next song, I Dare to Live the Life of Faith. I dare you to live the life of faith. Got to throw yourself at it. Got to throw yourself at it. It's not magic. It's a two-way street. All I have is given to you, and all you have is given to me. It's a two-way street. I dare to live the life of faith. Shall we stand if we're able with him together and sing it? trousers on, because the end of that one needs it. But I dare you. I dare you. It's not a threat. I dare you. It's a challenge.